We speak a lot about victory, don't we? We think a lot about victory in Christ and what that actually means. Victory in Christ means victory over the world. Victory in Christ means victory over sin. Victory in Christ means victory over Satan. It's a wonderful word, and each one of us in this room tonight is striving to receive that victory in Christ. Tonight I thought it would be good for us to talk about this word for a few minutes and how important it is to us and what it actually means. And I want to do this by using the word victory and making an acrostic with it, letting each letter represent something that has to do with our victory over death, over sin, over the world, over Satan, and our victory in Christ. The first letter in the word victory, of course, is V. And I want this word to stand for the word vulnerable. You know, you and I today are vulnerable to sin. I don't have to ask you to raise your hands if you have ever dealt with sin, succumbed to sin, or been overcome by sin. Because everyone in this room has. Because as Paul said, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all are vulnerable to sin. And even though we as Christians, when we try daily to live the way that we should live, to put ourselves in the hands of Christ, we still find ourselves making mistakes in life. And we too are vulnerable. And you know, something that we need to know as Christians, that even after some of our greatest victorious experiences in life, when we have overcome a temptation, or when we have followed through with an achievement for Christ, it is that point in time that we are the most vulnerable for His second strike. You know, Paul tells us that we are definite targets of the devil. Even those of us who are faithful Christians are his target. In fact, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. You see, sometimes we may build an aura around ourselves and think to ourselves that the devil cannot get to us. That I am so faithful, I am so strong, I am so knowledgeable in the Word that the devil can't reach me. And oh, how far from the truth this really is. When you get to that point in your thinking where you think you are so strong, that you are so good religiously in your life, that is when you are at your weakest moment, because Satan knows exactly where to strike and how to take you down. You know, certain things happen to us when we fall spiritually. And like I say, every one of us in this room have fallen spiritually in our lives. Things happen to us. Number one, we become hungry. When we become spiritually overtaken, we become spiritually hungry. We hunger when we fall because we realize then that we are weak. Not only that, we become angry. We become angry at ourselves because we have given in to this sin, and we become angry at God for He put this in front of us, or we think He put this in front of us, causing us to sin. And then when we fall spiritually, we become lonely. We feel as if the world has just up and left us, and we're standing all by ourselves, because that's how Satan wants us to feel. He wants us to feel neglected. He wants us to feel hurt. He wants us to feel shamed because we have made this mistake, hoping that we will not run to the church or run to the Lord for help in times of this weakness. You know, it's just like Elijah. We know the story of Elijah in the book of 1 Kings. What a wonderful life Elijah had had. He had predicted no rain and it didn't rain. He had kept the widows and the widow's son alive during the drought. He raised the widow's son back to life when he died. He went up and he called down fire from God to consume the bullock and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jehovah God was the God. He killed the 400 false prophets down by the Lake Kidron. He had done so many wonderful things for God. And yet his life is still threatened. And he reaches a point, he says, Lord, what else do I have to do? Lord, I'm not helping here. I'm a failure here. And then finally he said, Lord, just let me die. He was a lonely man. He said, God, I am the only one who has not bowed their knees to Baal. That's what sin had done to him. Satan had him right where he wanted him. And of course, we go on to read that story, that God brought him out of that, and he continued on his work for God. But Elijah was tired. As James says, he was subject to like passions, just as we are. He could be fooled just like we can be fooled. He can be overtaken by sin just like we can be overtaken by sin. And we do get tired. We get tired of fighting this battle day in and day out. Tired of trying. Tired of working. Tired of moving on. We're vulnerable, folks. We're vulnerable to sin. And don't ever forget that. As strong as you think you are, we're vulnerable to sin. Second word of victory is the letter I. The letter I, let's let that stand for individual. And what I'm talking about is individual temptations that Satan uses to come against us. Satan will individualize his plan for you and for me. Because you see, the things that would tempt me may not tempt you, and vice versa. And he knows that. I want you to listen to James as he talks about temptations of life. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now I want to read that last part again. Listen to this very carefully. When he is drawn by his own desires and enticed. That means, my friends, that he looks at you and finds your weakness. And he has three avenues to go down. Go back to Matthew chapter 4, and we find that Satan deals with Christ, tempting him. He used these same three avenues. First of all, he uses a physical avenue. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He knew that Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. He knew the man was human, part human, and he knew that he would be hungry. If you are the Son of God, make these stones turn into bread. Then he tried, that didn't work, so he tried something else. He tried pride. He said, cast yourself down from the pinnacle of this temple, and then he used Scripture, for it is written, God shall give charge to his angels lest you cast your foot against a stone. And when that one didn't work, he went with the third avenue, power and wealth. Took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory and told Jesus, I will give you all of these things if you will fall down and worship me. Little did the devil realize that Christ was there when these were made. These were made for him, by him. Satan had nothing to offer him. And let me tell you something, my friends. He really has nothing to offer you either. He may have something that looks shiny. He may have something that looks pretty. He may have something to make you think you want it so bad. But in reality, he really has nothing. Because what he has can't take you beyond this life. Or the things that God gives can. But he will individualize his temptations toward you, so you alone will give in to him. The next word in victory I want is the letter C, and let's let this stand for counterfeit. This is something else the devil does. Satan will tempt us by trying to get us to take an easy way out. I want you to look around you in the building here tonight. I want you to recognize that some of the faces you saw this morning, you don't see tonight because they're not here. You see, he has helped these people decide an easy way out. He has helped these people decide that God doesn't need your worship tonight, and he won't need Wednesday night. He won't need you to put him first in your lives. And as you go through your work throughout the week, and as you are faced with things in life that you have to make a decision of right and wrong, Satan is going to see to it that you see the beauties, the physical beauties of making the wrong choice. You see, he will do whatever he can to keep you on the wide road. You know, Jesus talked about the narrow road and the wide road. The wide road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. And he'll do what he can to keep you on that wide road. He will fabricate lies. He will deceive. He will trick. He will use every trap in the book. And he will always offer you a counterfeit way. So always remember counterfeit. Satan will use counterfeit ways to keep you from God. The next letter in the word victory is test. Now, the word test is something that can help us. The fact is that when we overcome a temptation, when we do say no to Satan and we do make the right choice, we do become stronger in our faith. In other words, we have stood the test that has been put up for us. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And I want us to listen as Paul continues to admonish us about temptations. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it." When we pass the test, we gain strength from that. Even though the devil will send these temptations to destroy us, God can use these temptations to bless us if we will only look to him for that strength and for that guidance so that we can pass the test. The next letter in the word victory is O. And this word will be open, for open the book. I want to tell you that it is critical that when we face temptation, that we look toward God and that we look toward his word for the answers to the temptations that we are facing. You see, one of man's biggest problems is we try to solve our problems alone. When we face temptation from Satan, and sometimes we recognize these as temptations from Satan, we'll try to solve it all by ourselves, and we'll try to find our answer to the problem, and many times it just causes us to fall in deeper and deeper. Paul tells us that the gospel of Christ is the power of God. Unto what? Unto salvation. It is God's power that removes us from sin. It is God's power that gives us the armor that we have to ward off sin. It is God's power that will give us the ability to walk away from sin. But we have to know it. We have to understand it, which means we have to study it. We have to put on that armor that he has provided for us. We have to use it throughout our lives, every day that we live, if we're going to allow it to be a benefit to us. God's words are the words of life, and it can guide us through this life. So, my friends, we need to open the book. And there's one other reason that we need to open the book, because of something that Jesus said in John 12, verse 48. He has given us the words of life for us to use. But then he tells us in this verse, "The same word shall judge you in the last day." The words that will be used as our judge, we're holding in our hands right now. And we have it. All we need to do is open the book and study it. The next letter is the letter R. And this word, this letter will stand for resisting the devil. And you know, it's not as hard to do as all that. A lot of it is simply just don't put yourself in a position to have to face a temptation. You remember last week and last Sunday morning sermon when I made the statement that we are generally the cause of our own problems? That's a true statement. We generally create our own problems in life. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, that can't be true because, you know, Satan, he's always there. He's always purposely doing something to hold me back, to make me stumble, to make me fall. And that's true. He is, and he will do that. But many times we bring a lot of our problems and a lot of our sins on ourselves. Now, he will put sin in certain places, places that we shouldn't be. But then we will put ourselves in those same places knowing that we should not be there. You go to a bar, you go to a club, and there you get into trouble. And yes, he puts those places there for us. But you drank the booze, and you got on the dance floor, and you got involved with the illicit person. He didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. Always remember, he did not shove that apple down Eve's throat. She reached up and grabbed it. And a lot of times, you do the very same thing with sin. I do the very same thing with sin. We can be our own worst enemy. So we must learn to resist the devil. The last letter in the word victory is the word yield. And another word for yield is simply submit. Yield your life to God. How do you get away from all this mess? How do you lessen the temptations that's going to be presented to you? Simple. Let God take control of your life. Paul said, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Then he goes on to say in verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yield your lives to God. Your being here tonight is an act of yielding. For there are so many other places that you could be. There are so many other things that you could be doing. But you have yielded your life to the Lord. And praise God for that. Don't ever stop. Don't ever turn your life around and give in to someone else. And if you can do this, you can have victory. Victory in Jesus. What a wonderful thought. It can be yours tonight. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to give to yourself, through the Lord, a wonderful beginning, a wonderful life, and a wonderful end, if you will give yourself to Him. Tonight, if you are a Christian and you've wandered away from the Lord, you too can give yourself a wonderful gift by submitting your lives once again to the Lord, confessing your faults, repenting of your sins, and God will forgive you. And you can have that victory all over again. And it can be yours, and it can be with you throughout this life and on into the next life. Victory. It's a wonderful thought. Be sure that you are living a victorious life in God tonight. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.